Got Scott Patrick of the Chronicle Telegram joining us this morning. How cold was it? Is that the Johnny Carson line I need to give you?
It was, you know, it's been colder down there. It didn't seem that obscene.
Why did it sound like that every time the Bears did something great, there was like this loud cheer going on? I got a confusion as to what city they were in. Did it seem like that?
I think the reason for that is because a lot of Browns fans didn't show up, and a lot of them sold their tickets, and the Bears fans bought them up on the secondary ticket market. So I got some tickets that emailed me at the end of the week and said, Chicago tickets are the most expensive in the league, and the Browns fans you can buy them in Cleveland for under $10. So a lot of Chicago fans made the last-minute trip in to Cleveland so they could see their Bears, and then you saw a lot of them on your way into the stadium, and then you saw a lot at the stadium on Sunday.
No, so that explained a lot of that, because there was moments where I would hear something on the radio, and I'm thinking, Jim Donovan sounds like he's calling something for the other team, but the people that are watching this are excited about it.
Yeah, well, the Browns fans didn't start cheering for Chicago. There was just a lot of Chicago fans.
Yeah, the Browns fans. They had a lot to cheer with early on. Talk a little bit about T.J. Ward. He was all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, he's had a solid season. It'll be interesting to see if they re-sign him. He's going to be a free agent when the year's over. You know, when he had that big 51-yard fumble return for a touchdown, looked like the Browns were in real good shape, took another lead into the fourth quarter. But yet again, that defense, which is good statistically, couldn't hold them down in the fourth quarter, couldn't hold down the other team.
Of course, we couldn't come up with that Tom Brady 61-second turnaround as much as we had hoped something like that would happen for us this week.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows you how improbable that New England comeback was. Because it was all, you know, similar situations. The Browns scored with, you know, less than a minute left. They onside kick. If you get it there, you get a chance to tie the game. But, you know, so much has to go right on that onside kick. And obviously it didn't for the Browns, but it did for New England a week ago.
What was the reason for the, the disappearance a little bit of Josh Gordon yesterday? Was it just a matter of they were keying on him for most of the game?
You know what? I think there are a lot of factors. I think Chicago paid more attention to him. They have a pretty good cornerback in Tim Jennings. The Browns quarterback, Jason Campbell, said the wind affected his downfield throws, which is where Gordon's been most effective. And, you know, and then I think it was, you know, the Browns scored a couple times on defense, which takes possessions away. But in the end, I think it was Jason Campbell not doing a good enough job forcing or making a concerted effort to get the ball to Gordon early enough. There are no targets in his direction until right at the end of the first half, and that's just, you know, it's not acceptable. If you've got the receiver who's had the best four-game stretch in the history of the NFL, you think you tried to get him the ball, you know, more often. So I think you got to give some of the blame to Campbell, and maybe that goes to the play caller, North Turner, as well. You got to get the ball in his hands early and see if he can get hot right away instead of waiting and kind of letting the game come to him, which is what happened. And then Campbell had a couple of times to get him, one at the end of the first half, could have gone for a long touchdown. And Campbell blamed it on the wind. He said the wind just took it away from Gordon. Wound up being a huge play in the game because not only did the Browns not score, the Chicago got the ball after their punt, went down and tied the game before the half. And then in the fourth quarter, it was a tie game. You know, Browns got a chance to go back up again, and on third down, Campbell one-hopped Gordon, would have been a first down. It was just a bad throw, and Campbell didn't blame the wind on that one. He said he didn't set his feet enough, and, you know, the throw dipped on him. Those are two big throws. If you get the ball to Gordon there, you know, you kind of sustain something, and you're able to give yourself a chance to take a lead. Instead, Chicago got the next punt, went down and scored, and took the go-ahead lead, and that they never gave up.
We're talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, the Bears and the Browns yesterday. It was interesting, you know, the Bears don't really have a great record, but yet they're fighting for, like, the top spot in that division. There must be a lot going on over there.
Detroit looked like they were going to seize control, and then they lost some tough games that you wouldn't expect them to lose. Green Bay lost Aaron Rodgers after he beat the Browns, their quarterback, and they're not the same team without him. So, you know, the fact is, if you're 8-6 at this point in the season, you're going to have a chance to be in the playoffs. And if the Browns are 8-6, they're probably in the driver's seat for a wild card. So, you know, Chicago's an interesting team. They score a bunch of points, have a ton of weapons, yet they've lost to, I think it's three last-place teams. So So, they weren't invincible yesterday, and the Browns had their chances. But it's becoming too much of a, not that it's never been a problem earlier, but when your defense blows, or when the team blows, fourth quarter leads in three consecutive games, you got to see, what's this team missing? Is it too young? Does it not have the right mental makeup? Is it the defense just not ready for prime time? And all those things. And the fact is, the Browns have had the good chances to win the last two games and have failed to come up with one victory.
Well, in yesterday's game, Joe Hayden was out of the game, by that point as well. What's his status? Do you have any word on that yet, or what?
Yeah, we're supposed to get an update today. I talked to, I was corresponding with people who knew him, and they said that it was too early to tell if he'd have to miss the last two games. It's not a major injury; just a hip pointer. He took a knee to the hip, but it's just too early to know right now if he'll be able to play in either of these final two games. My guess is he's going to make a really concerted effort to, because I don't think he can go to the Pro Bowl if he finishes a year on IR. So I think he's going to try to come back, because the Pro Bowl is still a possibility for him, and that's been an individual goal of his since he's been in the league.
Do you think the Pro Bowl is a possibility for Josh Gordon at all, or is there?
I think it's a lock. I think he's in. He's leading the league in receiving yards. To me, it's going to sound, it might sound silly. I think the Browns could have five guys in the Pro Bowl. I think Hayden's a strong possibility. I think Gordon's a lock. I think Jordan Cameron's tight end's a real strong possibility. Joe Thomas has been to six in a row, so I think he's a lock. And you got guys like Chris Obunnaya, the fullback, who's number two in the fan voting. T.J. Ward's had a solid year. Center Alex Mack's always in the discussion. And linebacker Dakota Jackson, who's been an alternate multiple times. So I think one of those guys could sneak in, and all of a sudden, a team that finishes 4-12 or 5-11 or possibly 6-10 winds up with five or six guys in the Pro Bowl.
Well, they'll have a nice time in Hawaii then, inspire them for next year as well. I'm looking at the Browns, always send out interesting notes, and sometimes names pop up that you don't expect to see. They have a category, most receiving yards in the first 26 games with the Browns. Josh Gordon now leads that with 2,271. In second place, Kellen Winslow. And third place, Max Speedy. So you can see that the Browns don't somehow get their receivers, as rookies or, start out to do a lot. It takes a while for, I guess, receivers around here to develop. But
yeah, I think that's somewhat common throughout the league, is that you see a lot of receivers take a while to find their groove. And it's always been interesting, why is that? Cornerbacks are obviously better. The route running needs to be more precise. But you don't see a whole lot of receivers burst onto the scene, which is why what Josh Gordon is doing is pretty remarkable. He's only 22 years old. We can forget that he sat out the last year of college, because he got kicked out of Baylor and went to Utah. So he's got a lot of growth still to make, yet he's demolishing all these records for the Browns, setting NFL records. So, despite the three catch for 67 days that looks pedestrian, there's so much to be excited about the kid, because he's only 22 and he should really be a superstar for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, you have to figure out what the other part of that battery is. Who's going to be behind center, the ones who's going to throw him the ball in these years to come?
Well, that's exactly right. And when we talk about Gordon, he's had three quarterbacks throwing the ball this year, and yet he's still been able to put up those numbers, which doesn't always usually happen. Usually has a big-time quarterback getting the ball to a big-time receiver, and they get continuity and all that stuff. And Josh Gordon has not had that. He's done a lot of this on his own. But, we're heading into another offseason, and we're dealing with another issue of who LeBron's going to have a quarterback. And it seems pretty obvious that they're going to draft a guy high, could be as high as the top five, could be with that Colts pick at the end of the first round. They could wait until the second round. But, they have to go get a guy that they believe can eventually be their elite quarterback. Now, in the meantime, you have Brian Hoyer, who's hurt, and Jason Campbell, who maybe you go into next year and say, okay, one of those two guys will go into camp as our starter. We won't force the rookie in there right away, and we'll see, and we should be able to win with this veteran if we improve the team around him, and then when this rookie's ready, then we can put him in without having to force him into the lineup. So it seems like an all right quarterback situation, as long as you make the right pick on May 8th, when that draft day comes, you got to pick the right guy. Because if not, you're still in that cycle. We've seen it. If you don't have that elite quarterback, you can't win consistently in this league.
Well, we're heading to take on the Jets next week and then the Steelers. What do these last two games mean for us, and what can we expect?
Individually with Jets, I got Geno Smith, the quarterback. He's a rookie that the Browns considered at the draft, and he struggled this year, turns the ball over a ton. The Jets are clinging to a, remote hope of making the playoffs, and their coach could be fired after the year. So there's some intrigue there. And Pittsburgh's in a kind of similar spot, hanging on. They're not quite eliminated yet. But to me, the Browns have not won more than five games since 2007. I think it'd be a tangible sign of progress if they could win these final two games, get to six wins. That would be a one-game improvement from last year. And at least you can say, we finished strong. We did make an improvement. For all the talk about all the progress they've made under Dean Chud's first year, if you finish with four wins, it's a step back. So I think it'd be huge if they could get to six wins. I don't expect them to get to six wins, but I think that would be a big goal, because forget all these little points of progress. You need to see it in the win column. And to me, this team is still too immature. I don't know if it's too young, if it's not talented enough, but whatever it is, they can't finish games. And it'd be a step in the right direction if they could finally finish a game or two in these last two drives.
Well, we'll see how it works out. We'll talk again next Monday. This coming Sunday, are the Browns taking on the Jets, and then the final game before the end of the year at Pittsburgh. Scott Petrick at the Chronicle-Telegram, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.